Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. Today, our devotion is about the wood rat, and I love rats. If you ever want a nice little pet, get a rat. Get it as a baby so it's used to your children, but they don't bite. They're not like hamsters, and they just make wonderful pets. You can even play with them like a dog, but they're just a mini, mini miniature dog. The wood rat, when saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, Matthew 4:10-11. The wood rat that lives in the deserts of the Southwest has a special problem that is not faced by his woods-dwelling cousins. In the desert, it is very difficult for the animal to hide its large, bulky nest. Consequently, the enemies of the wood rat would have little trouble making a meal of the little animal, were it not for one thing. God has given this creature the wisdom to cover its conspicuous nest with cactus plants, and pieces of cactus are placed around the entrance to the nest as added protection. The wood rat is small enough to scramble easily over and around the long, sharp spines of the cactus without being hurt. But larger animals that seek it as prey are not so fortunate. Woe to the coyote that charges after a fleeing wood rat and in his haste and enthusiasm tries to dig it out of its nest. That coyote will be much the wiser for his efforts. The wood rat is so well protected that it is almost as though it is defended by an army with drawn swords. Time and again it can be thankful that it has prepared for danger before it came. I think we can gain a bit of wisdom from this knowledge of how God teaches one of his creatures to protect itself. A deadly foe called Satan seeks to destroy our spiritual lives constantly. But as God taught the wood rat to protect itself, so he wants us to learn to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, as our protection. This weapon is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is written, is what God said when he drew this sword against the devil. It worked then and it still does. Can we afford to wait until the tempter is upon us before we try to prepare to defend ourselves with the sword of the Spirit? Well, the answer is obvious. Put on the whole armor of God. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our ability to talk about you and to do what is best for our kids, to homeschool them or to provide them with a faith-based education. And Lord, we just know that in these perilous times, we need to protect our kids and help them really grow into the human beings that can be useful for you. To take us to the end of time, Lord, you're coming soon. Thank you, thank you. Lord, we continue to hold up the family that has a father in the hospital, and we're praying for another family that needs a home. You know all of our needs, Lord, way before we even ask them. But we just want to acknowledge that you are the giver of every good thing. Thank you, Lord. May this show be an honor to you. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, I have in my Pinterest site, and you can go to mrgamblin2 and go to the board titled Windows on God's World. And you can see there how to draw a rat. I really like students to learn how to draw realistic things, not just cartoonish type of things, though there's a place for that. So your arts and crafts would consist of drawing a rat. And I've also put a video there. I couldn't find one of the desert one, but I did find one in, I think it was Southern California, pretty close to desert. Just they weren't using cactus. That particular wood rat was using pieces of branches of wood and everything. Very interesting. They're really a pack rat. So if you've ever had any experience with pack rats, they can really, I don't know how they do it, just with their mouths biting off little pieces of stuff and carrying stuff. It's really amazing. It's just amazing. So have fun learning. Questions parents ask. Well, this is a great question. It says we have a couple of kids. They're still young, 3 and 1 years old, but technology has taken over our family. So we're wondering what we can do instead. Well, it takes a while to unplug. You just can't say, so their desire to change and become unplugged is very admirable, but what do they replace it with? Especially with a 1 and a 3-year-old. What do you replace it with? Well, she does school things during the day, you know, so she has kind of a nice schedule, but in the evening when everyone's tired, what do you replace it with? Well, you can have, you know, you can have a game night where you play a game. You can play, have the kids just have free time where they, you know, can play with their toys. You have bath time. You have the regular routine of going to bed and worship time. I started worship time with my kids at a very young age, and they loved worship time. Worship time was part of our evening routine. So eating together, playing together, worshiping together, those are the wonderful things that you fill your evening with. And your kids should be going to bed relatively early. And then if your husband and you want to relax and watch a favorite TV show, they are not in front of the screen. Well, that's my advice. Take it for whatever it's worth. Again, we're offering with this interview in the second half, Kathleen Cook, and we're offering her devotional. So a donation of any amount, you can plug it right in there at the homeschoolcompanion.org website on the right-hand side at the bottom. And we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
What's wrong with going to the movies?
Let's take a close look at movie going. Is the building evil? Hardly. Movie houses are made of cement, mortar, steel, glass, and wood. So is your house. How about the seats, big screen, projector, or popcorn? Nothing evil here. Perhaps it's the movie itself. Wait a minute. You're going to tell me that the latest G-rated release is going to make me lose my eternal soul? Get real. So, what is wrong with going to the movies? Absolutely nothing. Same can be said about playing hide-and-seek with a rattlesnake or putting together a homemade bomb. Neither of these activities is a sin. They're just potentially harmful. In my opinion, the greatest problem with most movies is that they glorify sin and rebellion. We hear words we shouldn't hear. We see sights we shouldn't see. We feel emotions that don't generate pure, unselfish love. The Apostle Paul suggests, "Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, think on these things," Philippians 4:8. A movie can turn an innocent room into the devil's playground. It can do the same thing to your mind. If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Like a little child, the spiritual journey of infants and toddlers A newborn infant doesn't have the ability to express their love for you, your spouse, siblings, or God. But that doesn't hinder you from loving that infant and having that special bond. God is not hindered either. As parents and caregivers, we partner with God in order for faith, trust, and love to develop in that infant. This relationship forms the foundation for later beliefs about God. Studies on the early experiences of infants and toddlers with the natural world have been positively linked with the development of imagination and the sense of wonder. This sense of wonder leads to an appreciation of creation and ultimately to an understanding of the nature of man and his relationship to God. It's through wonder and the imagination that the child becomes a lifelong learner. For more information about Like a Little Child, the spiritual journey of infants and toddlers, go to homeschoolcompanion.org or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome back. You're listening to Homeschool Companion. Well, I am beginning part two of an interview I had with Kathleen Cook, and it's got an E on the end of it. If you Google it, Kathleen is spelled K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N, Kathleen Cook. She's a media executive, producer, actress, writer, teacher, grandma, creator. She's the founder and partner. She's a founding partner at Cook Media Group, where she oversees casting and is a creative director for all major projects. She also leads and inspires women in her nonprofit, The Influence Lab and The Influence Lab Women. And we've been talking about something that really is prevalent, where everyone thinks at some point in their life, maybe as a kid, that, you know, they want to be a movie star. It looks so glamorous to have all that attention and all that money. And really, that's not where it's about. And we also talked yesterday about your book called Hope for Today, and it's got the number 4, about that you need to read your Bible at least 4 times a day. And I just wanted to go back to that. I was thinking, you know, maybe kids spending 4 times a week with their grandma or their grandpa, or parents taking 4 times a week to pour into that child, because aren't we representing God to that child? When you think about it, the child's very concrete at that age. Their abstract ability hasn't been developed to know that God is there, really. They have that relationship, but it's more one way. God loves them, but they're loving their parents, and they're loving their grandparents. So I would like to ask about the third thing I wanted to talk to you about, and that is what you're going to, maybe you can give us a sneak preview of what you're going to talk about in your when you talk today to the National Religious Broadcaster audience, whatever that may be. Maybe share with us.
Oh, I'd love to talk about that, because it's about story. And okay, That's what Jesus told. He told stories. And we ourselves are stories. We have an incredible story from the time we were born. We all have the time of hearing our mother saying how we were born.
Yes.
And how we grew up. And, you know, it was funny. We, in our first session we talked about yesterday, how Kenna, my granddaughter, was with me during COVID, and I was teaching with her. And you know what? We would take our recess break every day. And you know, every single day, almost every single day, without question, is she said, would say to me, "Mimi, tell me a story about my mommy. Tell me a story about Auntie Bailey. Tell me a story about you when you were a kid." Every single day, she wanted a story. We are a story. And Jesus understood that we function and understand things through story. From the very beginning, when we teach kids, we are reading them stories, aren't we? And so as we understand how Jesus put all of that, God put all of that in our DNA about story, then our work as media producers and content makers, writers of those stories, is essential. So that's what I'm going to talk about this time at the NRB this time. was how do we create those compelling stories, those ones that are going to ring through the ages. You know, when we look at the stories that are being produced, so many of them came from classic fairy tales and stories mm-hmm. that were told word for word from person to person for a long, long time, and then they were finally written down. And when we go back and look at our faith, Jesus told stories, and he told a story after a question. So not only are stories important, but so are questions. We need to be listening to what is really being asked. In our first session yesterday, I talked about how my granddaughter was online with a public school, but then I supplemented her. And we had this session on the zodiac and learning, you know, whether we were a rat or a dog. And her question to me, Grandma or Mimi, am I a rat or a dog? And I said, no, you're a child of God. And so she needed to understand from that point of view the difference of who she was. And so when Jesus was asked, that came from a question. Yes. And the deep question was not, am I a rat or dog from Kenna, but who am I?
Yes.
What is my worth? Mm-hmm. And what was my meaning here on earth? From a very, very six-year-old little mind comes that first question, who am I and what am I worth? And so often the stories of Jesus came from where the people were. She's a six-year-old, but many of the people that Jesus was talking to were farmers. They were shepherds. They were merchants. So we have to understand where are those questions coming from, and then what is that story that's going to resonate in them? How do we create that story that's compelling, that's going to have what we call in Hollywood legs, that's going to keep moving through mm-hmm. through our mind and our heart? Not only did Jesus tell stories, but he told parables, and mm-hmm. parables are stories that make you think,
yeah,
and resonate within your soul, and they just keep banging like a little drum going on in your head. And so those are what I want to encourage filmmakers here at the NRB to do, to create those compelling stories that come from compelling questions. And you know what else Jesus did? He would tell those stories and walk away and never explain them. In fact, if you look at scripture, about the only times he actually explained those stories was to his disciples who were believers and understood a little bit more of who he was. And he would walk away. I work a lot, you know, all over the world teaching and speaking and teaching globally. And I speak a lot in the Middle East, and especially to Muslims and working with that religious group. And Muslims, when you speak to them, they have an understanding that comes from their Islamic faith, from the Quran. Yes. And they think that Jesus is a prophet. And they actually you have some relational things to who they already know a little bit about who Jesus is. And so that's what I tell parents, even people who are non-believers, is try to explain in a story or explain to them who Jesus is and allow Jesus to do the rest. Tell them those stories, walk away, ask those compelling questions, walk away. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is going to come in and do the rest.
Yes.
And we have to trust that he will do the best. I think one of the failures we've had so often within our Christian community is wanting to give them the whole story in a little nice, beautifully gift-wrapped bag or box, you know, that this is the beginning, this is the middle, this is the end, and this is what you have to believe. This culture and this world today, our iGens today, want to have you clarify for them. Mm-hmm. They don't want certainty, they want clarity. So when we try to create projects in film productions that have a neat little box and everything comes from the beginning, the middle, and the end, and we walk away and everyone's happily ever after, it doesn't work with them. And so my challenge to the NRB listeners and the people that will be attending today is create a story and walk away. We'll make sure it's a story that leaves you to ponder.
And as you were talking, my personal mission is to forward the teaching of Jesus Christ. I don't say teachings because it's not, I don't want to just forward the stories. I want to continue in the same style that he did. And I do run into that where, okay, so what does that mean? You know, teacher, tell us what that means. What you know, and I'm going, I would like you to figure out the analogy. I want you to ponder and think about what it means for you, because a story comes across differently to every listener. I mean, there is a dynamic between the storyteller and the listener that is unique. So are you speaking every day here at the NRB, or is today
just one day. I'm speaking just Thursday at noon, or 12:30, actually. Okay. I'll be on the main stage in the convention center.
Well, hopefully I can get away and listen to you.
Yes.
I would love to. We've been talking with Kathleen Cook. That Cook ends with an E. And we've talked about three things mainly, and that is her work with Influence Lab and Influence Lab Women, and then also her devotional Hope for Today, which really is pushing the idea that we need to be in the scriptures minimally four times a week. It would be better if it was every day. And then also she's a speaker here at the National Religious Broadcasters Association talking about story in general. And I love the idea, because when you think about it, that's what's so appealing about technology. And the kids are drawn into the little 3-minute dumb videos and TikTok and all of that thing. They're just little dumb little stories.
They are dumb little stories. But you know, those dumb little stories, when they're all compounded together, they distract us.
Yes.
So the title of my devotional... Sorry, my voice is dying here. You'll have to excuse me.
You have until Thursday to get it back.
My devotional Hope for Today, stay connected to God in a distracted culture.
Yes.
We live in this distracted culture of being bombarded with media messages. Do you know that the average kid in junior high texts more than 75 messages a day?
Wow.
That most adults are on their phone 150 times a day. We are bombarded, the statistics tell us, with over 5,000 media messages a day. We can't go anywhere, look at our phone, walk down the street. I can't go to the grocery store, to the dentist office, without seeing something on media. There's something playing in the background constantly, and we're distracted by that.
Yes.
And think about these little ones. Our futurists are telling us that right now we can turn our phones off, but pretty soon, and it's coming, they are already putting chips in our wrists so that we can stay connected 24/7, that these little kids coming up will not be able to turn it off, because it'll be actually embedded in their bodies. Mm. It's coming. They're already doing it in factories all over in the Midwest. People are doing it to themselves.
Yeah.
And we're going to be watching things in what's called like the cloud. You know, we already have the cloud where our pictures and stuff are already being. That's a, you know, all of these things are preparing us. Our Fitbits, our watches, our iWatches, all of those things are getting us ready for this thing that's going to be on our wrist.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting culture for our little ones in the future. But what we need to be teaching them right now is, how do you turn it off?
Yes.
How do you stop being distracted from that so that God's voice can come through? God's voice can resonate in your heart and life and mind.
Amen. So I'm going to leave you with this thought. Hope for today. Stay connected to God in a distracted culture. Do it with intention. Hey, thanks again for listening. We just have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.